We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Hello and welcome to Eddie's Wall, live on Facebook, filming here in Southern California at Transworld Snowboarding Studios. The best part about this show being live is that it's interactive. It's not just me interviewing the guest, it's you as well. So please comment your questions. They'll come up here on my computer and we'll get you guys some answers. Today we have a really great guest who just flew in from Chile. He was down there riding, doing some summertime shredding and filming. A couple little hype stats here. He's got a heavy competitive career, taking a win at the Aaron Style, a legendary win at Aaron Style, or a Legends session at Aaron Style. Also a bronze medal at the European X Games. He's also been in a lot of snowboarding movies. Some of the standout ones were the cult classic Air Blaster movie December. We've also got 91 Words for Snow. He released a GoPro line of the winter that has 2.5 million views. He's done Grillamentary and, of course, the very popular web series with Red Bull, Grillisodes. Please give it up for Marco Grilk. Oh, yeah. Give it up, people. Give it up. Good to see you.
You almost had the name right.
I almost got the name right.
We've been working on this and...
Yeah, we've been working on the name.
Almost.
So let's, you go by Grillo.
Yeah.
Mainly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your Instagram. That's, it, you know, the Grillisodes, Grillamentary. But the real pronunciation of your last name is, Grilk?
One more.
Grilk. Marco Grilk.
Grilz.
Oh, Grilz. I forgot the T. There's a T. It's spelled G-R-I-L-C.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced G-R-R-R-E-E-E-L-T-C.
Yeah.
Grilz. Marco Grilz.
Grilz.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you for joining us. You just flew here from Chile?
Yeah. Yeah, I was down there for a week, and it was such a insane trip. Like, I did this free ride contest, and then we had, like... what's going on there?
Oh, just getting emails over here. Busy guy.
We did like this sunset shoot and we rode around the resorts there. We had POW and it was just such a sick, sick trip.
So for any of our viewers who haven't been to Chile, what is the experience like down there? What's the food like and the culture?
Yeah, the cool thing is like if you're here from the States, for instance, you fly down, I think it's like a 10-hour flight and you don't have any jet lag or anything because you're in the same time difference, right?
Oh, so perfect, yeah.
You just, like, that really helps, I think. And you wake up in full-on winter. It's cold, the snow is great and stuff. And I was really surprised, like, how cool the people were. They're really calm and they're friendly and it's really, like, easy to, like, be with them anywhere, you know? And then, the shredding itself really, like, blew my mind because they have such big mountains and, like, a lot of, like, POW and a lot of good terrain and, like, the parks, too, were so good. So, like, the whole experience was, like, mind-blowing.
Were you filming for... What were you filming mainly for?
The main thing was I was here in the States. I was doing the rat race. And then, like, I was up in Mount Hood. And they were, like... The Red Bull guys down there were, like, do you want to do this free ride contest in Chile? And I was, like, guys, I never did a free ride contest, you know? And then they were, like, no, it doesn't matter. We're sure you can do well. And I was, like... All right, I mean, like, I'm down, why not, you know? And then I got there and, like, in my mind, somehow a free ride contest in Chile was, like, the small face, couple turns, like, pretty chill.
Yeah.
And I get there and we're, like, under this, like, 1,000-meter, like, face, you know? It's, like, the biggest thing, blind rolls everywhere, like, big stuff. And I was just like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into?
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah, like, somehow, like, the dudes also, they were riding it. They were like, okay, like, we rode this face. Like, you need to go there. And actually, at the end, it worked out really well. It was really fun to do, too, and it was awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
But I got myself into a weird place. I was like, what am I doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were in Canada filming for... a Transworld thing, and they were doing a free ride contest, and out of the blue, the resort was like, oh, Eddie, would you like to be the pre-runner of the course?
Yeah.
And this was this past year, so not, you know, when I was, you know, 25 or something. Yeah. And I'm like, sure, I guess. And I got up there and was so terrified. Yeah. I was like, why did I agree to do this? And then, you know, I made my way down. It wasn't like that crazy, but yeah, it was, those things are sketchy.
Yeah, yeah. And, but I really, like, I think it's pretty sick if you, like, if there would be a, like, a little bit more, like, freestyle in it too. Like, it, because the thing that I noticed that's the biggest difference is you ride a slopestyle course, for instance.
Yeah.
And you got the jumps, you know, and like you're, I feel that you're pretty limited with it, you know, or right. You ride like whatever other event, like they just set up everything and you're like, okay, got my tricks, I'm gonna do them, whatever, you know.
Right.
But here you had like a full face, you know, so you had like 100 obstacles or whatever features to hit.
Yeah.
So you chose what you want to ride, you know, and I feel like if there would be takeoffs or jumps and stuff, it would be such a sick thing to do, you know?
Yeah, I think, I feel like that's kind of what Travis Rice was trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I feel like that course was almost too condensed.
Yeah.
To where if you hit one or two, there was like 100 obstacles, but you could only hit maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you had a massive open face forever and then you just had stuff everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It would, I feel like that would be pretty sick to get
cool.
Together.
We got some questions coming in already. Thank you guys so much for watching and for sending in your questions. Let's see, Karen Castro Espinosa, are you planning to come back to Chile to shred?
Yeah, like I can't wait to get back, you know, like cool. It was such a sick experience and I always went to like to Australia and New Zealand in the summer mostly, you know, or we went to South Africa too. And I never made it like this way, you know, because it was just a little far for us from Europe, you know. And then I like definitely want to come back there because my trip was pretty short and I feel that I haven't seen much of the country and other resorts, you know. So I'm pretty hyped, you know.
Were you guys hiking, helying, resorts, backcountry?
Yeah, like I didn't get to heli, but we just did everything else too, you know. And dude, the crazy thing was like when we were there, in another resort, I think Chilean, a volcano erupted in the resort. So, like, we saw pictures of people, like, in the resort checking it out and, like, I don't know, like, 3,000 feet away or whatever,
what?
A mile.
Yeah.
Is that a mile? I don't know.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah. And then, so there's, like, a huge volcano going off, like, a lot. And so we were like, dude, we need to go check that out. And they're like, ah, yeah, we should, like.
Did you?
No, we didn't. Cause
we should, but
we should, but it was far, yeah.
Let's see. Sandra Augustinus, when will you visit Landgraf again?
Oh, so Sandra is, she's the mom of Jesse Augustinus. He's a really good snowboarder.
Okay.
And I've been, like, we went to, so Landgraf is like an indoor dome in Europe, right?
Oh, cool.
And they have a sick park, and we've been, like, going there, and yeah, like shredding there, and it's so cool. They let us stay at their house.
We're
like,
wow, all right.
Yeah, we're living the life over there, and yeah, probably in October, November.
Perfect. One thing I was going to ask you is the when I went to Chile, I'm a vegetarian, and the only thing to eat there was meat. It was like breakfast, lunch, and dinner was just meat, 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 meat. So I had to eat cheese fondue for like 10 days straight. That was
so,
it was pretty
awesome. So, yeah, I also like stopped eating like a lot of meat.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, like, but recently.
Cool.
So I'm like, okay, I'll like chill out on the meat because I ate way too much. And then I came down there and I was like, okay, I think I need to start eating meat again because this is not working. So I just like was on the program again. But now I'm back. I'm good.
Cool. Let's see. Tom Stotner. Grillo, have you been to Wernie Stock's wedding?
No, I haven't been to Wernie's wedding, but he got married and it's pretty insane. Like, I don't know where I was, but I can't wait to get back to Hintertux and shred and like see the Wernie and his wife and like, that's coming up pretty soon, so I'm really excited, yeah.
Cool. Edward Michael, what has been your best snowboard memory?
I think, like, when we, you know, like, when we did the Grillo's Oat series, you know, like, we, our thing was that we could go to places where you would never go usually on a snowboard trip or like in the, like if you're filming for a movie or whatever, you know. And then we like went to South Africa or Dubai, like such places out of the snowboard map, you know. And it was like the thing that really made it cool that we would go to Africa and snowboard there and get there. And we meet a crew of snowboarders that's there. And that crew was like the same as everywhere else. You know, they were same passion, same dudes, just so hyped on riding.
Yeah.
Happy, stoked, you know. And that, like, at that point, I was like, dude, snowboarding is so sick that no matter where in the world you go and how it is or how bad, good, like what they have, people are so stoked about it.
Yeah.
And they're happy in their lives, kind of. And that, like, that was really something that made me, like, it blew my mind, you know. And from everything, that was the one thing that I liked the most, you know.
Cool. Yeah, we noticed that in Dubai, going to the snow dome there. And this is just a small run inside of a vast desert of 120 degree weather. And the kids there were so passionate about snowboarding. And it got me so stoked. Like, you know?
The thing is that, they're not bummed, you know, like when you meet people that have such passion and such stoke, you know, they're never bummed. They're always like loving life and having a blast, you know. And it, like when I came there and I looked at it, I was like, okay, your conditions are not even close to like Mammoth or whatever, you know, but I was like, I can't believe you guys are having as much fun as anybody else. And that's really cool about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Tom O'Toole, what deck are you going to ride this year?
I ride like so many different boards nowadays. Like I've been on the Fish a lot and it's so sick. Like I'm such like good carving board and I have a hard time like getting off it. Like I'm like, I need to get off it. Like I need to do like some big jumps, but then I do like one run with it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just do it with that board. It's all good, you know?
Yeah.
And then I ride the Process quite a bit and there's such a, like the Burton line has so many boards to offer that I, every like 2 or 3 weeks I'm like, hey guys, like, do you think you could send me this board? It looks sick. And then I get it and I ride it. I'm like, yeah, this is insane. So different things to ride, different board. And that's like, it's pretty cool.
Okay. Garrett Growl, what is your favorite trip from this past season?
We've been like filming on this movie that we're working on together with Red Bull for 2 years now, right?
Okay.
And we had a plan set up for what we're going to do. And some of the things that we have like didn't work out because the season was so bad at the beginning. But then at the end, it really turned on. And we went to this one mountain that was 50 minutes from my home. And I've been there before, but I never hit it right or I didn't know how good it is. And we got there and it was like Alaska. I was like, what the heck? Like the sickest faces, like just pow, spines, everything under the gondola, you know, and nobody there. And we were like, what? Like, how is this even possible? Like, how didn't we go this here like 100 times already, you know? And then we hit it, like for 3 weeks, we just had like storm after storm and just insane stuff. Yeah. And that's where I kind of started like doing lines and free riding or whatever again after a while, you know, and it was really a blast. Yeah.
Now trying to think of either whether to talk about, well, let's just touch on this Red Bull 2 year project. So is there, obviously it's 2 years, so maybe you don't want to give away too much or talk about it too much, but this was the first year of filming for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what is there, is it kind of a movie around you or your friends or is there a theme to it or something?
No, like I didn't really want it to be like a movie about me or whatever, my life or whatever, you know. And I just kind of, like, we did the episodes, you know, and we traveled and we saw all this, you know. So now, we like, for the movie, we're, like, going a little bit different, you know. Like, I can't say it or whatever, you know. But we have, like, 5 trips planned to like, really cool spots. And one is going to be a free ride trip and one is going to be like a street, like park saggy and all. But the movie itself is more about snowboarding and more about maybe not traveling that far, you know, like maybe just coming and like using your things that are around you, you know.
That's,
you never know, like it might not seem that it's that good, you know, but once you do it and you go into it, then you're like, well, there's a baby AK in my backyard that I didn't even know because I've been trying to go like so far away,
right?
You know, so like just doing a step back and coming home and like doing it in a different way.
Okay. And talking kind of about your web series, you know, Grillisodes, those were really successful. And, you know, nowadays there's a lot of, you know, social media, online presence is a really big deal nowadays. And web series really help with that stuff. And then, you know, you did this GoPro line of the winter that has over 2 million views. How has that maybe affected your career path and things like that? Because you, I feel like you, even more than a lot of writers, have a really big online presence.
Yeah. So when, like, the whole online thing started, you know, like, I was, like, straight addicted to it. I was like, dude, wow, Facebook, like, every day and stuff. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? I kind of don't see that, like, filming a movie, like, a video part is that, like, it's what I want to do, you know? And right. then I started, like, the episodes back then, like, this, like, 6 years ago. And I just said, okay, this is what I believe in. I'm not sure if it's going to work, but I feel like this is the right way, you know? And the sponsors at the beginning were like, yeah, like, we'll yeah. see how it goes, you know? But then a year later, they were like, oh, this is insane, you know? Like, it's working and, like, this is going well and we trust you, you know?
Right.
Like, my sponsors came and they were like, what do you want to do, you know?
Cool.
And at that point, I was like, this is so amazing, you know? But at the same time, I was like, okay, I could go this way and, like, film a better video part, do better tricks, like, go, like, all crazy on it, which we did anyways. But, like, snowboarding has so much more to offer, you know?
Yep.
And there's so much that people don't see and that you can explore and stuff. And this series was perfect for it, you know? We went to such places that, you know, like, you wouldn't even think you could film a trick there, like Morocco, you know, like, we're on this mountain, there's nothing, like, and we, you know, we're like, okay, we just gotta do
in Morocco,
you know, like, it's super warm, like, the desert blows all the sand on the snow, it's yellow, you know, like, there's one guy with a snowboard from the, like, 70s or 80s, like, walking around, that's it, you know. And no, like, there's lifts, but we didn't even go on them because they were so sketchy, you know. We were like, okay, we're not sure this is going to make it to the top, you know.
Whoa.
So we just went to this, like, abandoned houses and, like, we did some jibs and stuff, but we were snowboarding there, you know. And, like, maybe it was not the best, but you could do it and you could get something really cool out of it. And that was, yeah, like, that was the point of it, that we could do different stuff, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, it's funny, when I think, I was watching some, like, highlights of you, of your riding and stuff yesterday and leading up to this, and when your name comes into my head, when I think Grillo, you know, I just kind of think big jumps, like powder, you know, tech, gnarly, big jumps, tricks mm-hmm. and stuff. And then when I was going through all this footage, I was noticing, like, tons of gnarly street stuff. And I mean, have you always done tons of street stuff?
No,
because it really took me by surprise. I was like, what? Like, all those crazy rails have all the gaps in them mm-hmm. and stuff. And I was like, oh, dude, he's, like, doing crazy street stuff.
Yeah, that's, so, you know, like, I snowboard for so long. Like, I've been with Burton for 20 years, you know. Like, yeah, and
I did not know that.
Yeah, like, this is the 20th year. Yeah, it's insane.
Oh, that's so gnarly.
Like, at some point, I was
wait,
like,
what age did you start with them?
Yeah, like 14, yeah. So I'm going, yeah. I was such a Grom, and back then, like, I was from Slovenia. Nobody even knew where Slovenia is, you know. Yeah. And I went to, like, Junior Worlds,
yeah.
And Hazi, like, my current team manager, still was like, dude, you're on the team. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what team? Like, you mean Burton Snowboards? And they're like, yeah, you should come and grab your stuff. And I went there as a kid, like, it was my first time, like, going to the office or, like, even seeing, like, all this stuff. And just, and they were like, yeah, you're with us. All good.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay, well, wait, actually, okay. But well, okay, no, let's stick to that. Now that you brought that up, but we'll get back. I want to get back to the handrail stuff. But, okay, so first of all, you are from Slovenia.
Yeah.
And I think we have a map. I think we can bring up a little map. It's going to be, like, right here, if you will. And so Slovenia is kind of nestled in kind of near the northern tip of Italy and near Austria.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be Yugoslavia, right?
Okay.
And when we split up, like, so we're, like, right next to Austria and Italy too. So it's not too far, But for instance, when I started snowboarding, like the border was gnarly. You couldn't just like, okay, I'm gonna go to Austria every day. You know, like it was.
Why is that?
Because different times. Like we just split up from Yugoslavia. There was war in Bosnia and Serbia and all that. Like pretty crazy times, you know. And that's when we went to Innsbruck, and we filled the car with these boards, and we had to like go over the border where there's like police and like checking every car, like documents, who are these people, what are they bringing in, are they gonna sell it, whatever. So we rolled up with like six boards in the back, and they were like, guys, we gotta talk, you know. So my dad was there with my contract, like my Burton contract. He's like, good guys, check it out, like it's legit, he's an athlete. They hooked him up.
Whoa.
And they were like, no, no, you're going to sell this. Like, you need to pay for it, whatever. And then after 3 hours, they're like, okay, whatever. Just go. You're a kid. Like, go snowboard.
Okay, so kind of rewinding back a little bit from there, you're a little kid in Slovenia starting to snowboard. I mean, I think it's very difficult for a kid in the United States to get noticed as being a good snowboarder or in, you know, even a big famous... a bigger country in Europe. So how does somebody from the middle, like from Slovenia, get noticed for their snowboarding?
So I did, yeah, I got on Burton, and then like imagine.
And that was through kind of like locals.
No, so I went to the Junior World Championships. Like that was the thing where they like where we're like, okay, you're legit,
okay.
Right? And then imagine this is a time with no internet, like
yeah.
No cell phone, right. No like no computer, you know,
right.
Like, and we, like, the information about somebody being good was just, like...
word of mouth.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
And it took so much time, you know, so I would just ride, and then I would, like, Burton was, like, really cool about it. They were like, okay, you can go to this event, you should go there, you know, and I would show up and ride, like, as a Grom, and they would be like, oh, like, that's pretty cool, you know. And so that was like step by step, but this took years. It's not like today. Oh, dude, like he did a quad, boom, superstar.
Sponsor. Yeah, you know, yeah, like, right.
It's like a different time. So it took way longer, but I feel like once you were recognized, you know, like it had way more, like it
weight.
Was worth,
yeah.
Something, you know,
yep.
Not like okay, next year he's gone. Like he's actually around and it's cool. You know?
Yeah,
but it was sick. Yeah, then I got to film video parts like. I did like events and yeah, it was pretty insane.
And how, oh, so you were 14 when you first started getting stuff from Burton,
yeah.
But when did you start, you know, really winning contests and producing video parts?
So when I was 17, I won Junior Worlds in Pipe, right?
Yeah.
And like Danny Cass was there, Heike Sorsa, you know,
yeah.
Like, and I was still like, I feel like people still didn't know me, you know?
Right.
So then I was all of a sudden like getting invites to like, I don't know, ISF, like top events, you know, and that really helped, you know. And then I think when I was around 20, completely randomly, Travis Parker and Andrew Crawford, like they're like, dude, we're in Slovenia. Like, I heard you're sick. Let's ride. And I was like, wait, what? Who? Like that guy that,
yeah.
You know, like... And I met up with them and they were like, yeah, we're making this movie in December. You know, I was like,
oh,
yeah, but there is no snow. Like, what are we going to do? You know, and they were like, we don't care. We're here to ride and have fun. And I was like, okay, you know, like, let's do it, you know. And it ended up that movie was like pretty big.
Yeah,
you know?
It was like a cult classic, I would
yeah,
call it.
Exactly.
Like
yeah, exactly. But I had no clue. I was like riding with this guy, super hyped just to be with them.
Yeah.
You know? And that led into 91 Words, where David Benedict was like, okay, dude, like, let's get you on a real movie. Let's film, you know.
Right.
And then when I got that chance, all of a sudden I was, like, sledding in Alaska. I was like, what? Like, how
yeah.
is this happening? And that was a big success, too, you know. So they
yeah.
that opened, like, a lot of doors for the years that followed, you know.
Okay. So kind of on the, you were talking about the competitions and stuff, Gary Robert Greenshields, Grillo mate, you've done a ton of contests. Which was your favorite? Of course, X Games Aspen, when you busted through the fence, must be up there.
Oh, yeah, that was like really an amazing moment where I just flew out of the whole course. But actually, I you know, like for me, always Aaron Stau is like the one that like was really special. You know, it's in Innsbruck. Like Burton's there. I feel like Innsbruck's like the center of European snowboarding, and
yeah,
just the arena with how like it is, like that was the one that I really loved the most from all. And like that was for me the best memory of competitive snowboarding for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually talked to a lot of riders who, I think the other day I was talking to Peter Lyon and I asked, you know, what was one of the biggest contests or most memorable, and he said Aaron Style, because I feel like there's very few contests in snowboarding like that, because it's just so, it's like a stadium event, yeah. You know, you feel.
Yeah, and the thing is, the crowd, like the people there are really into snowboarding too, you know, so when you do a trick, they're like, oh, like, that's insane, you know.
And they know what
they
you're
know
doing.
They know what you do, and they love it, and you really feel it, because like, just the way the people are in that stadium, like you really feel like them, like the feedback from them, or cheering or whatever, you know. And I feel like that's why the level of that event was always so big, you know?
Yeah. Tom Kingsnorth, can you share some stories about your team buddy, Rope?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to put him in that spot right now.
Okay.
Like, it would be a bit too much. But I've been traveling around a lot with him, and he's such a good dude, you know? Like, just so hyped on life, you know? Like,
yeah.
He sends it on a snowboard, is always down. He sends it on a skateboard, it sends it at night, like
he sends it at
he
the
just,
bar.
He's the best, you know. And like we go around, and he's gonna be a big part of this movie that we're making too. And I'm meeting him in Australia in a couple of weeks, so yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm hyped to see him.
Okay. David Berenin, where do you want to ride before climate change makes it inaccessible?
Yeah, it's scary, huh? Like thing is that, yeah, so I've been shredding for such a long time that I really see the changes, like, in the climate, and it's scary what's happening, you know. So I'm thinking, yeah, for us, probably, it's, like, for the next couple of years, it's kind of okay. I guess, like, the winter starts in February, which is bad, you know, and then they're closing resorts with, like, 6 meters of snow on it, you know, but it scares me for my kids, you know, like, are they even going to be able to go on a mountain and have like a normal winter holiday, you know, or are they going to have to go on a glacier or in a dome, you know? So it's like really not good what's happening. And like, we all need to do something about it. And I try to do my part, you know, but I feel like one person it can't change it. But if we all like work towards that, hopefully it's gonna get better. Yeah, but it's bad, like it's really bad.
If you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall. We have Marco Grilk, aka
Grilz.
Marco Grilz, aka Grillo. We're here filming in Southern California, Trans World Snowboarding Studios. And please comment in your questions and we'll get them answered for you. Moving right along, we have Bayan Zolahar. Do you remember that one time when you had an interview on Serbian television? What happened?
Oh, yeah. So Bine is a good friend of mine.
Oh, Bine.
So what did happen? Like, we went live on the Serbian TV, right? And I speak okay Serbian, but he was with me and he speaks zero Serbian, you know, so just the way that we talked through that interview was super ridiculous, and we were on prime time. It's like me speaking like kind of half English right now. It was just like super funny. It was awesome. Yeah.
So kind of going back to Slovenia and growing up there, I thought it was pretty interesting when you're talking about, you know, the borders and kind of the politics and stuff, because I feel like in the U.S., you know, we have politics and everything, but we don't really deal with this long history of, you know, country splitting up and things like that. What is that like to be a younger kid growing up in that
insane,
environment?
It's insane, you know. So when I think I was 7, you know, like we had that war, you know, and in Slovenia it only lasted like 10 days, but like my memory of it, you know, like I remember it like it was yesterday. So I was outside playing and the sirens went off, you know, like a long siren.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what it was, but I remember my dad was like, dude, we need to go to the bunkers. There's like a strike. Like the planes are going to bomb the city. Cause that's
and before this, did you know too much was going on?
No, cause it happened. A 7-year-old doesn't know, like, or doesn't care.
You're not, you know? You're not keeping up with CNN.
Yeah, but like, so I was, you know, I remember we packed our bag, you know, and we were like, okay, we're going to the bunker. They're going to like bomb the city.
Is this like a big public bunker, or do you have a bunker
no,
in your backyard?
No, you have in your house.
Like, you had a bunker in your house?
No, like not in our house, in our building. So back then, like buildings would have to have these bunkers, you know?
Holy
So, smokes. Okay, we're going in a bunker, and then randomly our neighbor comes, and she was like, yeah, I was just in Croatia at the beach, and I drove here, and I didn't see like anything was going on. What's going on, you know? And my dad's like, okay, we need to get out of the city. We're leaving everything behind. We're going to Croatia. We need to escape. Like, imagine this is happening, you know? And we took those couple bags, went in the car, and drove on the highway. There's nobody anywhere.
Right.
And they told me that, like, there were tanks coming the other way, and we were like... And I remember it, to today. My dad was like, you need to hide under the chair or, like, in the back. So I would, like, go down so if in case they shoot at the car... like I would be okay, and my mom was driving like super low, and we were going full speed, like passing tanks.
Yeah. Coming into the city.
Yeah, it's so unreal. Yeah, and then we made it to the border, and they had like tank barriers, you know, like it's big X's,
the metal ones. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And they were like, "What the hell are you guys doing here? It's war, you know." Like, and we were like, "We need to get out of here. We need to like get out of the country. We're safe there." So they somehow like left us through, and then we were in Croatia at my grandma's place. And I remember to the day my dad would listen to the radio and be like, okay, what did they bomb? Did they bomb our house? Did they bomb Ljubljana? Where's the war? Like, this is so insane. Yeah, I was just a kid, but I remember this like it was yesterday.
Whoa. You know?
So gnarly.
Crazy.
I'm crazy. Yeah, I am.
So then you were able to go back. Your house didn't get bombed.
No.
And you were able to go back.
Everything, like, luckily the war there was like not, there were some casualties, but it moved down and Slovenia was okay. But we were, we were the passing zone for all the refugees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in those times, like, they would come Bosnia, you know, like, they would pass all through Slovenia. And I remember how it was, like, our neighbors had, like, 15 people in their small apartment. Because that was the only place these people could go. They had, like, one bag and that was it. And they, so it was super gnarly, yeah.
Wow, that is a crazy, crazy story. Yeah. So after that settled down, kind of growing up through your teen years... You said the borders were tough and everything, but was there any more, you know, crazy
so,
things like that?
Like, the thing was that that I remember also is that we didn't come from, like, a wealthy family, or I don't think anybody back then was really wealthy, because the way it was set up is that everybody kind of has the same, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember the gnarliest thing was, like, how my parents would, like, how they would put everything we had into me going snowboarding, you know? They, like, my dad, I wanted to go on a trip to Switzerland once. And, I mean, it had to be super hard for him. And, like, we didn't have money to go.
Right.
And I remember he sold all the shares, like, everything we had for me to go on this one trip. And it's so gnarly. And then,
wow.
Okay, so then we, after that, my parents were so much in debt because of it.
Yeah.
That I remember once, like, people came to our apartment, like two dudes, official, and they were like, okay, if you guys don't pay the debt that you have, we're going to take your apartment away. Like, we're going to take your home away.
What?
So gnarly stuff. Yeah, yeah. And my parents somehow, like, made it happen, you know, but, and I was still pretty young. I was, like, maybe 10 or, like, 11,
wow,
you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but I saw this happening.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, we need to sell this or whatever, however we're going to make it. But it's all because we were snowboarding.
Well, you know what's really interesting, too, is I could almost imagine maybe a family doing that in this day and age, knowing that you can become a big-name pro and make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, there was no such
thing.
No. When you told somebody, like, you know...
It wasn't a sport.
No, it wasn't. Like, nobody... You didn't even know that someone made a living off of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A pro meant, I thought, like, that you got, like, a free lift ticket.
Yeah, they...
So that's pretty amazing, because your parents were doing it...
Yeah, they
it was,
invested
like,
in, like...
Just
it's
a
so
passion.
Insane now, like, that I have kids to see. It's, like, it's just straight up into, like, happiness, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was stoked to do it, and
right.
I was hyped. It wasn't a sport. There were barely any contests. It was, like, nothing. It was more like a hobby thing, you
yeah.
know? And they were like, okay, we are so glad that you have that in you, that you're hyped. And my brother was the same. We are going to put like everything into that.
Wow. So like, knowing that they, I mean, they did all of this just for your passion.
Yeah,
and not for any money.
No Olympics. No.
Right.
That's why I see these kids nowadays. They're like, their parents are like, oh, I want my kid to be the Olympic champion.
Right.
I'm like, that's so wrong.
Right.
You should be happy that he likes
it's
something
passionate.
And he snowboards and like that's enough, you know. If he's if he loves it that much, he will. If he snowboards every day, he maybe one day is going to be, but that shouldn't be your goal, you know. That should be his goal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now are your parents just insanely proud? And
they, it's so sick. Yeah, my brother like too is like extremely successful, and I do it, and I had a talk with my dad the other day. I was like, What did you do that I am 33 and I've been doing this for 25 years or like forever? Why do I still like it so much? You know, like, why am I still involved? And he was like, you know what? When you were a kid, I didn't tell you one time that you should go snowboard.
Right.
I never pushed you. I always was waiting for you to say, okay, Dad, I want to go snowboard. And then I took you, you know.
Right.
I never like did any pressure on you. And he said, yeah, like sometimes I felt that you should go, but I was like, whatever, he should do his own thing and he's going to like it. And that's like why, that's the way you want to make your kid love whatever,
right.
Snowboarding,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Damn. This is
deep.
Awesome.
We're going deep.
We're going
right now.
Deep
people.
Here, folks.
Whoa.
Really deep. A couple more questions. David Blackwell, Grillo, what is your favorite meat to grill?
Oh my God. Fish, I guess.
Fish?
Now fish.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite type of fish?
We like actually in Croatia, we have so like, or we live right next to the ocean. So there's so much like good fish.
So you don't live in Slovenia anymore?
No, I live in Slovenia, but Croatia is like an hour drive, you know,
Or
we have a coast in Slovenia too. You know?
Right.
It's super sick. Like we have really good mountains, like half an hour drive. And then we have the coast and like it's easy to travel from there. Austria is close. And
I was looking up, what's the main town in Slovenia?
Ljubljana.
And I was, you know, doing a little research for this, and I was looking up Ljubljana, and it looks really nice, and it's like a cool city.
Yeah, it's insane. It's so beautiful.
Like, right.
That's the thing. Like, I travel a lot and see a lot of things, you know, but just that feeling of coming back home.
Yeah.
And like, being in the spot, like, being with my family, with my people, it's just so insane, yeah.
Why do you think that countries like Austria and Switzerland and Germany and Italy have so much hype around them and so much tourism, and then Slovenia is a country that, I mean, I would say most people have barely heard of?
Yeah, it sounds sketchy, right?
They're
like,
bit.
Slovenia?
Well,
like, damn, Eastern Europe? Like, Hostel? Have you seen the movie Hostel?
Right,
like, I'm
going
to disappear there.
Like, you
know?
Kind of picture this rundown city with, like, old bullet holes.
Exactly,
And, you know, you can rent a hotel for, like, 5 cents.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Something. That's, like the American
just,
vision,
yeah,
I feel like.
It's just the wrong, but, like, it's the direct opposite.
Right.
It's so beautiful. It's super safe.
Yeah.
And it has so much to offer. We have, like, amazing lakes. Like, we have the best fly fishing in the world. Like, the ocean is right there. So the people are super nice. They speak English. So it's really, a sick place to go. You know?
Yeah. As soon as I was bringing up the photos and some videos, I was like, this place is amazing.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's probably even better because it's not full of a million tourists. And
yeah. That's the thing that, I mean, now it's getting pretty touristy, but it's not like going, you know, to Prague or, like, where everybody goes.
Paris,
like, it's a bit different. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Graham Banks, dude, I heard your platinum 1K at the taco stand in Encinitas.
Oh my God, I've been hanging out with Graham quite a bit. Like, I actually surfed with him this morning, and it's so cool. Like, I spent some time down here, and it's like my second home, you know. Like, the people like that I've been hanging out with, like, they just showed me a really good time, you know. And we've been surfing and skating, and what you guys have down here is unbelievable, right? All the skate parks and such good surf and such a sick lifestyle, like, so calm and good food. And it's hard for me to leave today, but I can, like, I'm trying.
So you're
to,
leaving today?
Today, I'm going on a plane home,
So you flew in from Chile?
Yeah, but my ticket was from here, Chile, and back, because I was here.
Okay.
And
then
now I got a I gotta go home.
Oh my gosh.
It's been too long.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. A couple more questions, and then we'll wrap this up. Sandra Augustinus, what would you have your job be if snowboarding never came into your life?
I don't know.
Pro surfer? Sorry,
yeah, no. No, we don't have waves. It's hard to say, you know, like when you're that young in snowboarding, then you don't know like what other way you could go, you know, but it's tough. Like I'm just so connected with it that I never thought about something else, or even like now when people are like, so what are you going to do after snowboarding? I was like, I don't care. Like, yeah. I'm going to do something that's going to bring me back to snowboarding, or hopefully keep me connected with it somehow that I can go ride as much as I can, you know, yeah. And that's my goal. That's what makes me happy. It's not like having some job with a lot of like cash, whatever. It's just, I want to ride and that's what I want to do.
Chris Compadre, and I just saw this question and it's awesome. Would you rather have straight arms with no elbows or straight legs with no knees?
Wow. That is a tough one.
But check this out. Okay. Well, actually you answer first because
I think straight arms, right?
Okay. So that's the first thing I thought, right? Because who wants to walk around like this all the time? Yeah. And you can't snowboard or skateboard or anything, right? Check this out. If you have straight arms, you can't eat.
Oh my God, yeah.
Right? How do you eat? I mean, I guess you could get like a long fork, you know? But dude, you couldn't like, you try to drink a beer, you'd be like, oh.
Dude, you can
oh,
you'd be just like yeah.
Yeah, that was a great question, by the way. Man.
Amazing.
Brilliant question. Emily Joe Miskowitz. Hey, Emily. Emily is always tunes in and always asks questions, so thank you, Emily. I have a poster from 2002 X Games in Aspen signed by this guy and all the other snowboard athletes. Do you remember
signing
that?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I remember.
Really?
We were with the Red Bull crew, and we had a signing session, and I think she should answer if that's the... I think I remember, yeah. I don't know how she looks, but if we would pull it up on Facebook, I probably remember that.
All right. Radim Fenir. What about your wife? Does she like your work, and does she ever try snowboarding? Good question.
So the thing is that I got a family now. Max is almost 4, you know, and that changed so many things, you know, like all of a sudden, like before you have all this free time and you feel like you can do everything, and then you get kids and your family, and like you need to you want to spend time with them too, you know.
Right.
So at that point you're like, okay, what's really that important in my life? What do I want to do? Because I need to like get rid of some stuff, you know.
Yep.
And like then I really even more saw how much passion I have for riding, you know.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking about it a lot, it was like, I want to show that passion to my kids, or give it, pass it along to them, you know. And I straight got Max into like snowboarding, not because I want him to be this crazy snowboarder, but
right.
I just want him to be passionate about something like I am, you know, and
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, like, is snowboarding going to be his thing, or it's going to be like painting or whatever. I just hope that he's going to be like that about it too. And my wife, Nina, she has been so supportive throughout this whole thing, you know, like she had my back and was like, yeah, you know, like you go and do your thing, and like we'll make it work, we'll some, you know, like I'll take care of, you know, the kids and all that. And that was really insane, you know. And she had to, you know, like she still had to do school when we had Max, you know, so she went through a pretty hard period to have my back, you know. And
yep.
I'm really grateful for all that she's done for me too, you know.
It's interesting, I feel like a lot of times when you a pro snowboarder or pro athlete has a kid, you think, almost in a way, you think, oh, well, there goes their career almost, because they're going to be so wrapped up in that, and it's a huge responsibility, and it's going to take your time away. But it's interesting, because I've almost noticed that most of the pro snowboarders I know who've had kids, it almost elevates their career, because that they now know, like, what is important, time management, and they know, like, okay, I need to do this as pro as I can to support my family, and they get, like, gnarlier,
yeah.
And better, and they improve.
Yeah, you like all of a sudden you have a lot of like goals in your life. You're like, okay, I have like, if I do this, like I'm gonna try to make it, like get something for my kids, or you know, like you're like, okay, I need to You need to take care of these people, you know, right. They're my people right now.
Right.
So then you're like, okay, I need to, you get more pro at it, you like focus more, and at the same time, you appreciate the time more that you're on snow, and like, so you put more energy into it, you know, and I think what's like key in your life is like, once you get kids, you shouldn't stop living your life. Like, you're gonna destroy yourself, you know, right. Like if it's snowboarding or if you like biking or swimming or whatever, you know, like, you don't stop because you get kids, you
right.
know, you like, you just make it work or with your kids that you can keep doing it, and
right.
at the same time you show them like you're hyped on this and they're gonna be hyped like that on something else, you know.
So I mean, that's a pretty unbelievable interview. Do you have anything else you want to touch on before we leave? You got a 2-year project coming up, you're working on that, anything else?
I mean, we have a lot of, I have so much stuff going on that, there's a lot we could talk about, but, I don't know. I'm just grateful, like, for like the time I had here, you know, like, I've been in Hood, down here in Chile, and, now here, and, it's like been a super sick trip, and,
I mean, I appreciate you flying all the way here from Chile just to film this interview. And then safe travels on your way back. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This show would be nothing without you guys watching it, so I really appreciate that. If you click in this upper right-hand corner for you, it's you can turn notifications on so that you can actually see when we are going live. Once again, this is Eddie's Wall. We're here at Transworld Snowboarding. And thank you to our amazing guest.
Yeah.
Wait, Marco Gritz. Close enough.
Yeah, I'll take
AKA
it.
AKA Grillo. All right.
That.
Hey, put your hands together. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, this crowd, too. I love this crowd. Thank you guys so much for watching. And throw me the pen. We're going to have these sign the wall.
Boom.
There you go.